right when you think things could not get any worse for your Celtics, they do. This is by far rock bottom. Now, we've said that multiple times this season, but this is rock bottom. An embarrassing performance like that against the Atlanta Hawks, 127-112, the Celtics lose that game. And that doesn't really even do this justice. What do you make of the most recent Celtics loss? They have now fallen in three consecutive games, and right now they sit at 15-17 on the season. 15-17. They have the same record as the New York Knicks. The Bulls are percentage points behind them in the standings, and the Hornets are percentage points behind them in the standings. Right now, they would be in the play-in game in the playoffs. Not even in the actual playoffs. They'd be in the damn play-in game. It's getting to the point where it's just incredibly difficult to watch. It's embarrassing, quite frankly, to watch. And there are issues in that locker room that clearly we don't know about from the outside looking in, but this thing stinks. This stinks, and some sort of change needs to happen, and needs to happen fast, because this can't go on any longer the way it's going on. It's a complete embarrassment. They are completely embarrassing the organization, and quite frankly, the Celtics organizationally are embarrassing themselves as well. I mean, Danny Ainge did how many interviews last week to explain how it's not Brad Stevens, it's the players, and he's in charge of the players? Well, ever since he said that, he didn't do anything to change the players, did he? It's not as if he made a move over the past couple of weeks. There's no rule that says you can't trade before the deadline. I'm not talking about a big, massive move. I'm just talking about bringing some fresh blood in here to get some sort of contributors. So tonight, when you're looking for some sort of punch and you're looking for some sort of energy, it doesn't have to be Grant Williams and Javonte Green. Oh, his contract got guaranteed tonight. Congratulations, Javonte Green. He'll be on the Celtics the remainder of the season. So cue the duck boats. You're set there. But why hasn't Danny Ainge done anything? Why hasn't he done anything? Not to mention you have the owner of the team, Wick Grosbeck, going on interviews today and going on the other station talking about the fact that they believe in Brad. Brad develops young players, and he credits Brad for the development of both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, here's a real bold take on Jason Tatum. You ready for this one? And I know that the ownership group believes that Brad did a lot to develop Jason Tatum. This is a big, bold take by me. I'm pretty sure Jason Tatum would have been good no matter where he went. He was going to be a good player. He was one of the top five college recruits, or I should say high school recruits, and he went to Duke. He was the number three pick in the draft. He would have been pretty good no matter where he went, okay? So you have the ownership group, you have the president of basketball operations, everybody defending Brad Stevens over the past couple of weeks. Why are they defending Brad Stevens? If he isn't losing the locker room, there's no reason to defend the coach, right? Clearly, the players are aggravated with the coach's style. They're not respecting the coach. They're not taking to his direction. Because it's one of two things. Either Brad Stevens is just a horrible, horrible tactical coach, and he has no idea how to coach NBA offense and no idea how to coach NBA defense, or the players just aren't listening to him and they're ignoring him. Because either way, it's bad. Either way, it's not going to work. It doesn't work either way. So you got to make a decision on this guy one way or the other. Is it really just the players are deciding to go out there and freelance and do whatever the hell they want? Because if that's the case, Brad Stevens ain't the guy for the job, because clearly they're tuning him out. And it's not as if Brad Stevens has had this great culture here with the Celtics. That's something I don't understand whatsoever. Oh, yeah, Brad Stevens. Yeah, they got a good thing going here. Really? Like, what is the cultural aspect to this team that you're pointing to? Because I do know that Kyrie Irving was a massive issue in the locker room for years, and we all chalked it up. I was guilty of it as well when Kyrie left. Oh, it's Kyrie. Nah, just a bad attitude. Kyrie, he was a problem in the locker room. It's all on Kyrie. Okay, fine. If that's your prerogative, we have more evidence to the contrary. Because what happened last year? Well, Kyrie's gone. They're going to have this great culture. Okay, well, Kemba Walker was supposed to be like the leader of the team. I heard he leads the NBA in culture building, right? That was the big thing when the Celtics signed Kemba Walker, who, oh, by the way, has an arthritic knee. And once again, it was a back-to-back tonight. He's not available for the team. But what I was told about Kemba Walker, everybody loves the guy. And I'm not dismissing that whatsoever. This isn't an indictment on Kemba Walker, the person, or anything along those lines. I was told, though, that it was going to be totally different. The locker room was going to love Kemba Walker. There was going to be no issues with the culture of the team that we kept hearing about. Well, how come last year, after game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, you had a huge blowout in the locker room where Marcus Smart is throwing stuff and the players have to meet until the wee hours of the night to discuss what's going on. Because Marcus Smart was apparently shooting too much. So you had locker room issues last year, and you can't blame those on Kyrie because he was not part of the equation whatsoever. And how about this year? Because clearly the players aren't taking to the coach's direction. You have a guy like Jaylen Brown that on multiple occasions over the past couple of weeks when he's asked of the about the lack of ball movement, you know what Jaylen Brown says? No comment. He just says no comment. Doesn't answer the question whatsoever, which is basically telling you it's on the coach. It's on the offensive system. The offensive system is not working. The way we're trying to play is not working. And another thing Jaylen Brown said recently after the loss last night to the Dallas Mavericks, he was asked about the play at the end of the game with Luka. And what did Jaylen Brown point to? He has alluded to the fact that we play a switching style, and that's what we did at the end of the game, but that's our system, and our system got beat. He mentioned multiple times that the system got beat. He referenced the fact that you got to blitz Luka Doncic, essentially get the ball out of his hands, and we stuck to our system, which is switching, and that's why Daniel Tice at times was on Luka Doncic, and what happened in those particular scenarios, he got absolutely roasted, right? So clearly, whatever the coach is doing, it's not working. And even if you want to point to the fact and you want to say, hey, you know what, Brian? Well, the guys just aren't listening to what he has to say. Well, that's even a bigger problem in and of itself. So even if he is coaching it up and he has these great schemes and this great offense, the players aren't going out there and they're not running what Brad Stevens wants to run, if that's the argument you're making. I just don't know what Brad Stevens right now is doing to help this team. And you go back to the postseason last year, he underachieved. Can we all agree on that? He couldn't figure out how to play against a pick and roll of the Miami Heat when Bam Adebayo was roasting you 25-10-5 in that playoff series. Brad Stevens didn't make an adjustment. It took them seven games to beat a Toronto Raptors team that was nowhere near as talented as the Celtics, right? You're supposed to get a boost from your coach. You didn't get a boost from your coach last year. You went to game seven. I mean, how does OG Anunoby get that open three? How the hell does that happen at the end of the game? It should never happen, right? You got Taco Fall in the end in a playoff game because you think he's going to stop the inbound from going in. It makes no sense whatsoever. A guy that hasn't played at all, let's put this guy out here. That's another thing, by the way. This isn't about Taco. But how many guys are on the Celtics bench that you know are never going to contribute? Tremont Waters, Taco Fall got into the game at the end tonight. Javonte Green, he can't contribute. How many guys are on this roster right now that just flat out can't contribute, that you know you can get nothing from, especially when you've gone through all these injuries this year? The late start for Kemba Walker. Marcus Smart has been out. Jason Tatum had the COVID-19 situation. So you get all this stuff going around with your team. You have no depth whatsoever. And that's on the general manager, the president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge. It's a complete mess from top to bottom. And tonight was just a pathetic effort. And as bad as Brad Stevens has been this year in terms of coaching, tonight's about the players. Because even if you're not taking to what the coach is telling you, even if you don't respect a coach anymore, what Kendrick Perkins said last night, you don't fear the coach. I don't know if that's the big issue, that they don't fear him. I believe the star players, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, don't believe Brad Stevens is the guy to put them over the top. And Jaylen Brown has basically gone out of his way, as we mentioned over the past couple of weeks, to say stuff where it puts a spotlight on the coach. He continues to no comment to the media. And last night when he puts it out there that our system got beat when Luka Doncic essentially had the game winner, that's telling you what Jaylen Brown feels. He doesn't believe this is the right guy for the job. Clearly, and I totally understand why Jaylen Brown would have some pent-up aggravation with Brad Stevens. Think about how Brad Stevens has treated Jaylen Brown over the past couple of years. 2 years ago, what happens when Kyrie's here? Jaylen Brown's the only one on the team that has the balls to call Kyrie Irving out. What happens? They send him to the bench. That's what they did. They sent him to the bench. Jaylen Brown, he had to come off the bench. Does that make any sense whatsoever? He's the guy that had to sacrifice. He's the guy that had to go to the bench. So Brad Stevens halted his development. Last year in the Orlando bubble, what was the offense? Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, isolations. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, pick and rolls. Even though Kemba Walker was coming back injured and Jaylen Brown was having an outstanding postseason run. And Brad Stevens told Jaylen Brown, yeah, just go out in the corner. I'm not telling you that was a word-to-word conversation. I don't have it word-by-word, but he basically told him, go stand in the corner. If I was Jaylen Brown, I would be pissed off with Brad Stevens as well, because Jason Tatum is coming here, and he's basically, they rolled out the red carpet for him. He got everything he wanted. With Jaylen Brown, he had to work for everything, and still, he must feel at least some sense of resentment towards Brad Stevens. And Jaylen Brown, one of the leaders of the team, is going out of his way to basically point out that the coach is doing a poor job. Bottom line, he's pointing out that the coach is doing a poor job. Now, tonight, even if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum don't truly believe in Brad Stevens, what they did tonight was a complete embarrassment. What the Celtics as a team did tonight, the players, what they did tonight was a complete embarrassment. A no-show like that, where is your pride? Do you have any guts whatsoever? I don't understand how this happens tonight the way it did. You just lost to the Dallas Mavericks. Previous, you blew a 24-point lead to the New Orleans Pelicans, where you didn't show up for the second half of that game. And tonight, you're playing a bad Atlanta team, an Atlanta team that's not good. They're 14-18 on the season, okay? They're not a good basketball team. And you no-show against that team, and they have 72 points in the first half. Even if you don't trust your coach, you got to show up. I mean, that's an absolute debacle. The Hawks shot 60% from the field in the first half. They shot 61% from three. How many open three-pointers was Danilo Gallinari going to get? In the first half, he hit seven. He was 7 of 8 for 24 points. At one point in the first quarter, Carson Edwards just left him. He just left him to shoot an open three. See, that's why Danilo Gallinari got the big contract from Atlanta, because he's a shooter. And these guys just left him. And then Trae Young, how many free passes was he going to get to the basket? He gets one screen and gets by a defender. He's in the lane. At one point, he got his own rebound. The dude's like 5'2". How is that happening to this Celtics team? How do you show up to the game with no energy whatsoever? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Where is this team's pride? I mean, I go back to the first half as well in the first quarter. And you look at some of the issues this team had. And you look at the fact that Daniel Theis is getting these big minutes. Can somebody explain to me why Daniel Theis is getting big minutes? What did Daniel Theis ever do in his career that tells you this guy deserves minutes? As if he's a golden goose. Now, I understand why Kemba Walker gets big minutes, because Kemba Walker is a guy that you gave a max contract to. He was an all-star last year, and he was an all-star multiple times in Charlotte. He was an all-NBA performer. If this Celtics team is going to make the run they need to make, or they want to make, Kemba Walker needs to be part of it, right? I understand that. Kemba Walker deserves minutes. Kemba Walker should get minutes. I understand that. Daniel Theis, what has he ever done in his career? Can somebody explain that to me? Because what I know is last year in the postseason, he wasn't good enough to cover Bam. And Bam's a really good player, but the point being, Daniel Theis is a backup center in the NBA. Why is he getting all these big minutes? What has he done to earn big minutes? It makes no sense to me whatsoever that Brad Stevens is so glued to Daniel Theis, got to keep him in the starting lineup. Why? Your team sucks right now. Why don't you give Robert Williams more minutes? It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Daniel Theis in this game had no points in his 11 minutes. Finally took him out of the game. But how about some of these numbers for Daniel Theis over the past couple of weeks? Entering tonight's game, he was 1 of his last 15 from 3. 1 of 15 from 3 in his last stretch of games. It's about 6 games, yet he's playing 29 minutes. Right, Robert Williams tonight got some minutes, but if you look at it, he only got 14. Why? Why is Robert Williams not getting big minutes on this team right now? What else are you playing for? Like, you need to get some of these young guys to actually pop at some point. You need some actual contribution from some of these young guys. One of the biggest issues, or one of the biggest issues the Celtics team has had over the past couple of years, is a lack of rim protection, right? Well, Robert Williams can actually block shots. The previous 4 games before last night, because he only played 14 minutes last night as well. Before that, he had a 4-game stretch, right? Ending with that Pelicans game, where he was great in that Pelicans game. 19 minutes a night, 9 points per game on 78% shooting, 3.3 blocks per game, and 7.7 rebounds per game. Somebody needs to explain to me why Brad Stevens isn't playing Robert Williams more. I don't get it. It would be one thing if this Celtics team was on this great run and they were atop the Eastern Conference and you felt like, all right, well, we trust Theis and we trust Thompson, and that's why Robert Williams isn't getting as many minutes. You have the same record as the Knicks. You have the same record as the New York Knicks, okay? Your percentage points ahead of the Charlotte Hornets right now. And Robert Williams can't play on this team? Robert Williams is getting 14 minutes on back-to-back nights? Well, I get it. Maybe his conditioning isn't to the level it should be. Like, he had that problem last year in the Orlando bubble. But at this point in the season, you should be working to get his conditioning up. I don't understand the argument against not playing Robert Williams more minutes. I don't understand it whatsoever. It makes no sense to me. No sense to me whatsoever. And the other issue I have with Brad Stevens, is there going to be some sort of offense? Like, what is going on? What are you guys running? You run nothing. You run absolutely nothing, right? So it's not as if you have these great shooters on the team right now that you can just stick in the corners. But that's essentially what they do. Like, when Ojeleye comes into the game, when Nesmith comes into the game, all they do is stand in the corner. And I'm not blaming those players. Nesmith, he's wet behind the ears. He's barely played in an NBA setting, right? He's barely played last year at Vanderbilt, right? He's the 14th pick in the draft. You're asking him to contribute to the team at this point, which I believe the Celtics should ask him to contribute because they got nobody else that can, right? Coming off the bench with the exception of Peyton Pritchard, although some of the shine on Peyton Pritchard has come off over the past couple of weeks as well. But when these guys come into the game, all they do is stand in the corner. And that's clearly what they've been instructed to do, right? Why isn't there any movement with those guys? I'm not talking about ball movement, Glenn Ordway's favorite thing in the world. I'm talking about player movement. Why can't these guys run around at all? Why can't these guys come off screens? I just don't understand why Brad Stevens thinks a good offense is Jason Tatum high pick and roll, Jason Tatum isolation, Jaylen Brown high pick and roll, Jaylen Brown isolation. That's pretty much the whole offense. The only other guy on the team that moves is whoever's setting the screen, and the other two guys just stand in the corner. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like, do you have any offensive sets whatsoever? Can you have guys running off some screens? Like, wouldn't that be a good way to get Aaron Nesmith going? Because I've been told he's supposed to be a shooter. That's what we were told. He was the best shooter in the draft. Remember Jay Billis said that? He's supposed to be the best shooter coming out of the collegiate level last year. Well, then why can't you run him off some pin downs? Why can't he come flying off some screens? Why don't you try to get the kid some confidence? Why don't you try to get the kid going? Took a three tonight in the first quarter. He missed it so bad it almost went in off the backboard. So clearly he has no confidence whatsoever. Maybe running a couple of things for him could get him going. Maybe having Ojeleye move a little bit could get him going rather than just stick in the corner. Think about that. That's your job in the NBA. Think about how difficult it must be to play in that scenario right now. If you're Ojeleye, basically, your minutes are going to depend on if you can hit corner threes, and that's pretty much it. I would be nervous as hell every time I get the ball in the corner. If I miss this one, am I going to get any more minutes in the game? It's just not a good atmosphere. It's not a good atmosphere for these guys whatsoever. So I don't know what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks, but this effort, it's got to change. Even if the players are tuning out the coach, have some pride in and of yourselves, right? Go out there and try to contribute to winning. Your season is slipping away right now. You're the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. And this is the response you give tonight after losing to the Mavericks the night prior, after losing a 24-point lead against Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans on Sunday. This is the effort that you give tonight against an Atlanta team that sucks. This is what you do to the point where the Atlanta bench is just clowning you the whole game. Trae Young's doing whatever he wants. Trae Young is throwing the inbounds off Grant Williams' back. That's the type of stuff that's going on tonight. You're a laughingstock of the NBA. A laughingstock. And look, even if you thought, all right, maybe the Celtics, they're not contenders entering the season. I never thought they were the favorites with Milwaukee and you had now with Harden in Brooklyn. I never put them as the favorites, but I thought the Celtics, call me crazy, with Tatum and Brown, I thought they'd be a really good team. Well, what the hell's happened to that group? And Tatum and Brown, they are not without blame now. Because you asked to be superstars, right? Jaylen Brown asked for a bigger role, and I believe he deserved it. But these guys wanted these roles. Jason Tatum has wanted this role since basically he's come into the NBA. Well, now it's your team. So fix it. It can't just be all this whining and complaining and the subtle jabs at the coach that Jaylen Brown is giving. I'm not saying that Brad Stevens, I've blamed him multiple times. You've heard me. But all this crap with Jaylen Brown is he continually calls out the coach. He called out the system last night, and he's not really calling out the coach, but if you read between the lines, when he keeps saying no comment about the offensive system, that's pretty much calling out the coach. Well, these two stars, or at least they're supposed to be superstars, you need to show the hell up. Jason Tatum this month, 41% from the field, 33% from three. Not good enough. The month prior, 50% from the field, 44% from three in January. Jaylen Brown this month. It looks like he's short-arming everything. What the hell is that? Short-arming it. Like as if something's going on in his head. 45% from the field, 34% from three. Horrible. January, he was at 51% from the field and 44% from three. So here's the thing. If you're a superstar in this league, like you guys want to be, if you're all-stars in this league, which you both are, congratulations, you're going to the all-star game. You have multiple all-stars and your team sucks. Congratulations on your achievement. Have a lot of fun at the all-star game. But anyway, getting back to the original point, you guys are supposed to be stars in the league. Well, show up. Trae Young, for the second time in a week, just outplayed you both. We've seen it time and time again. When is the last time Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown has been that supernova that we saw at the beginning of the season? Both of them had outstanding games earlier this year. Remember when Jason Tatum, a couple of weeks ago, just completely outplayed Kawhi Leonard? Remember, Jaylen Brown wasn't playing, and in fairness, Paul George wasn't playing for the Clippers either, but Jason Tatum outplayed Kawhi Leonard, a two-time finals MVP. Jaylen Brown had, what, 40 points against the Memphis Grizzlies? I'm not telling you they're a good team, but he did it in 19 minutes. It was a NBA record. Most points without playing 20 minutes in a game. Where the hell did that guy go? What happened to that guy? Because I don't see those guys on the court anymore. So you're all-stars. Congratulations. Start playing like it. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. If you want to weigh in on the Celtics and this embarrassing loss, certainly welcome to do so. So Kendrick Perkins had some harsh criticism of Brad Stevens. He's wrong. Stevens is doing a poor job, but not because of what Perk is claiming. Plus, we'll get into the issues with Tatum and Brown. And Gary Washburn told the guys on OMF that Danny Ainge has failed in one specific area. We'll get into all that as well. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
Well, I would say, Gary, what I say to you and everyone else is not what I say in the locker room necessarily. And how you say it is certainly very important. And I've had my moments, let's put it that way. That said, I think this team looks like right now it's balancing playing unconfidently and unsure with the fact that we've had a couple that slipped away. And so the only way I know to get that back is to dive on the floor, is to take charges, is to like sprint to help your teammates up, is to fight for every single possession. And that's our charge. And I don't know how to say it any more clearly than that, but it'll be said in whatever way it needs to be said. And we just need to find, you know, make sure that we're doing our job. Listen, none of us are happy with the job that we have done. And I should be first and foremost on that list with where we are. That said, I also realize that we're in a situation where we have a lot of guys going through it for the first time, and there is a confidence to winning that you gain from earning winning. And we have a lot of guys that haven't done that. We have some that have. And, you know, we'll make sure that we do everything we can to earn that confidence with our work.
I don't know about you, but I feel like running through a wall now. It's Brad Stevens after the game tonight. What do you make of the most recent Celtics loss? 617-779-7937. Can you be any more cliche than that? Seriously. Oh, yeah, we got to dive for loose balls. We got to take charges. No kidding. We all know this. Your team needs to play harder. The question is, why aren't they playing hard? That's the question. Why isn't your team doing that, Brad? Okay, it's great that you can say all these things. We need to hustle. We need to dive on loose balls. No kidding. Everybody knows that. Why isn't your team doing that? That's the issue. It's not what you need to do. We all know what you need to do. Now, there's tactical issues that I have with Brad Stevens. We can get into that in greater detail in a little bit. But the effort part of that, I don't care about Brad Stevens saying after the game that they need to play harder. We all know they need to play harder. Why aren't they playing harder? Why aren't you getting through to your players? Why aren't the leaders of the team holding the other players to a certain standard? And quite frankly, why aren't your leaders imposing their will on the opposition? Why aren't your leaders playing hard? Now, one thing I'll point out, one thing I think that both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are looking at right now, and they have an issue with Brad Stevens, is Robert Williams. So if you go back to after the game against New Orleans, they both talked about how much easier Robert Williams makes things. They talked about how much Robert Williams has improved, because you know what Robert Williams is? He's a legitimate lob partner for both Tatum and Brown. You saw it a couple of times tonight where Jaylen Brown threw him up an easy lob. You saw in the first quarter, Robert Williams catch a couple of lobs. We saw it last game as well. They are pushing for that guy to play more. Bottom line, listen to their press conference after the New Orleans game the other night when they were so complimentary of Robert Williams. When have they ever done that in terms of Daniel Tice or Tristan Thompson? They want that guy on the floor more. And what you know, in the NBA, you need to listen to your superstars. I'm sorry, that's just how that league works. So you need to listen to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and give Robert Williams more minutes. And what's the downside? You suck? Well, you suck right now. Robert Williams has been much better than Daniel Tice over the past couple of weeks. One thing you could always say about Brad Stevens, prior to this year, he always had a good defense, right? Past 3 years, sixth, fourth, first, like they've always been good. And that's with a different roster year after year, right? The C's right now, defensively, rank 15th in the league. Teams are shooting 66.6% in the restricted area against the Celtics. That's 25th in the league. They have no rim protection whatsoever. So you get by that initial defender, easy to score. We saw it with Trae Young tonight, right? He just gets in the lane, little floater. The problem is you don't have anybody that imposes their will on the offensive player that can block shots. Well, Robert Williams is that guy. At least give him a chance to prove he's not. Why can't you give him more minutes? See, my thing is Robert Williams now going forward, he should be starting every game. Daniel Tice is not a good player. Bottom line, he used to be able to shoot threes. He can't anymore. He's not a consistent enough player. And he doesn't give you anything offensively if he's not hitting shots. It's not like he's a rim runner that can finish lobs. Robert Williams can do that. Look, I was pleasantly surprised with the effort that you got from Tristan Thompson tonight, because he had such a slow start to the season. He was significantly better tonight, one of the only guys on the team that was actually displaying effort and displaying some leadership, if you will, because nobody else on this team was doing that tonight. So he had good minutes. He deserves minutes going forward. Now Daniel Tice doesn't. Give Robert Williams more of an opportunity. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Will in the Cape. What's up, Will?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, what's up, Will?
Hey, I agree with the well, get rid of Tice, start Robert Williams thing. But, you know, you guys also was praying and hoping for, you know, this year, last year, to get rid of Marcus Smart. And now that he's been, you know, unhealthy and he's off the court, look what's happened without him.
Yeah, they have sucked without Marcus Smart. There's no doubt about that. Marcus Smart definitely is somebody that brings it every night that he's on the court. Now, we can complain about his shot selection and some of the things he does offensively, but you can never complain about Marcus Smart's effort.
Well, look how much we miss him now. Like, I think like a big thing is why these guys aren't playing well is because when you take the heart and soul out of something, then you lose. You know, when you take the fight to win out of something, what's going to happen? You're going to lose.
Yeah, so, Will, look, Will, I'm with
Marcus Smart's gone.
Yeah, Will, I understand where you're coming from, and clearly Marcus Smart has been missed more so than we probably thought he was going to be missed, but that's no excuse for the whole team not playing hard. Like, just because your leader's there, that means you're not going to play hard. That's the thing that aggravates me, right? Like, if Kevin Garnett missed a game, was Paul Pierce and Ray Allen not going to play hard? Or if Paul Pierce missed a game, was the rest of the team not going to play hard? That doesn't jive with me. Like, your point is correct, and I appreciate the call, Will. His point's right. I mean, they've been bad since Marcus Smart went down with the injury. I'm not denying that whatsoever. But for the rest of the team over the past couple of weeks to just no-show, I don't understand either. About what? 2 weeks ago, they played well against Toronto, one of the best games they've played, quite frankly, all season long. And then all of a sudden, since then, it's just gone completely in the opposite direction. Now, to Will's point, here are the numbers. Last 13 games without Smart, the C's are 18th in net rating. They're a minus 1.3. So they're getting outscored by that. The way that metric works is it's points per 100 possessions. So their net rating, 18th in the league, not even mediocre. Their defense, since Marcus Smart went down, is 17th in the league. Their offense is 19th in the league without Marcus Smart, and their record is 5-8. With Smart, so pre-injury, right, 10-8 on the season, the Celtics, they looked pretty good. They were struggling a little bit at the end when Marcus Smart went down in that game against the Lakers, but they were 10-8. They hit a little bit of a slide. And remember, Jason Tatum missed a couple of games during that stretch because he was dealing with COVID-19. But during that stretch, they were 8th in the league in net rating. So they were 18th, or they're 18th right now without Marcus Smart in net rating. They were 8th with him. Defense was 11th compared to 19th right now, and it was 3 points worse right now per 100 possessions without Marcus Smart. The offense, as we alluded to, pretty good with Marcus Smart. 10th in the league compared to where they're at right now, 19th in the league. So, yeah, that's definitely true that they were way better this season with Marcus Smart. But you can't just tell me, oh, he's the heartbeat of the team. He's the heart and soul of the team. And once they get Marcus Smart back, everything's going to be fixed. I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. I don't buy that Marcus Smart coming back to this team is going to solve all the issues. Because clearly there is something deep there with this team right now in terms of they just are not playing hard whatsoever. So what's Marcus Smart going to come back and yell at a couple of guys and then all of a sudden the whole team's going to start playing hard again? No, this is an indictment on the whole roster right now. With the exception of like Tristan Thompson tonight, who played hard? Who played hard on this team tonight outside of Tristan Thompson? Nobody. They don't bring the effort on a night-to-night basis. Brad Stevens can say all this crap all he wants, but we got to hustle. We got to dive on loose balls. We got to take charges. Well, until we actually see that, Brad, you have to be accountable for that. There's a reason that everybody's defending Brad Stevens over the past couple of weeks, whether it's people in the media that are in the know with the Celtics, or whether it's Danny Ainge, whether it's Wick Grosbeck. All these people are defending Brad Stevens. Why is he getting defended? It's pretty crystal clear why they need to defend him, because he's lost the locker room. He has completely lost the locker room. Maybe part of it is these guys lost faith in him last year in the Orlando bubble, because if you go back to that, Marcus Smart shooting a million times, 10 guys, or I should say 5 guys, rather, were taking at least 10 shots per game. It was not a cohesive unit, and that team was broken at the end of the bubble to the point where they had that blow-up in Orlando where they were arguing about shot selection. I don't know exactly what they were arguing about, but it was a massive blow-up in the locker room after the game to the point where they had to talk to the wee hours of the night. So maybe the team and the players just don't have the faith in Brad Stevens. And maybe that's part of the reason that Ainge gives them that extension right before they go to the bubble to say, hey, this is your guy. You're playing for this guy. He's the coach. And clearly it didn't take, because these guys aren't listening to him whatsoever. And another thing I would point to, why is Evan Turner on this coaching staff? Anybody think that that was a little weird? Guy was like under contract with an NBA team. And then all of a sudden he's on the coaching staff of the Celtics. What the hell's that about? I'll tell you exactly what that's about. That is a liaison, if you will, to the players. They brought Evan Turner in here to help relate to the players, to help talk to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, right? To win back the locker room for Brad Stevens, because Evan Turner loves Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens got Evan Turner a big contract in Portland because he had his best season in the NBA with Brad Stevens coming off the bench as the sixth man. So Evan Turner loves Brad Stevens. What the Celtics wanted to do by bringing in Evan Turner was show the team how much this player in particular loves Brad Stevens and how much he meant to Evan Turner and all that different type of stuff. Sorry, it hasn't worked. These guys still don't respect the coach whatsoever. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight tonight. If you want to weigh in, certainly welcome to do so. A lot more to get into, including Gary Washburn told the guys on OMF that Danny Ainge has failed in one specific area. We'll get into that. Plus, we'll get into a big issue with Jason Tatum that he needs to stop. We'll get into that in just a little bit here on WEI.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
But I'm watching role players do things that other role players on other teams don't do. Like, you know, I'm watching Tristan Thompson hustle and get offensive rebounds, and there's three people around him. And yes, at times he may muscle and go back up, but it's so many guys that are open on the perimeter and not kicking it out. I'm also watching guys, you know, like Daniel Tice tonight. I watched him come in and walk into a pull-up three early in the shot clock. Like, that's just too much freedom for role players, and they should not have that much freedom and be allowed to do certain things, because they're probably not getting held accountable, or Brad probably won't scream at them, or he probably has just lost the locker room. And I'm not saying guys don't respect him. What I'm saying is that guys are not afraid of him. And at some point, as a coach, you got to have that that fear and that respect to know that guys won't try you in certain situations.
All right, that was Kendrick Perkins after the loss last night to the Dallas Mavericks. Brian Barrett with you until midnight. 617-779-7937 is the number. So I don't agree with Perk when it comes to that, that the issue is the guys don't fear Brad Stevens. I really don't think of the modern day NBA, you need your players to fear you. This isn't like when Bobby Knight was coaching at Indiana in the 70s and the 80s and into the 90s before he eventually got fired and then went to Texas Tech. You don't need that. You don't need to have this fear that your players have in you. You think the reason the Warriors won championships is because in the first year that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson played for Steve Kerr, they were scared of him? You think they were scared of him? You think when Nick Nurse won a championship with Kawhi Leonard was scared of Nick Nurse? No. Right now, the issue with the Celtics is these guys don't trust Brad Stevens. They don't believe he's the guy that can put them over the top. And you can understand why, because last year in the postseason, he got completely pantsed by Eric Spoelstra. Spoelstra completely outcoached the guy, right? So when you just look at it from that perspective, it's not so much about the fear thing with Brad Stevens. That's not the issue. It's the fact that these guys don't believe he's the coach that can put them over the top. It feels like he can get this team to a certain level, but can he actually get you over the mountaintop? And it doesn't feel like that's the case whatsoever. See, when Brad Stevens had a group of underachievers, he could get it done. Everybody was buying in. Everybody was listening. It was kumbaya. When Isaiah Thomas came to the Celtics, when he was traded here, he was coming off the bench in Phoenix. Sacramento didn't want to re-sign him. He wasn't like an established player in the league. He was a good player, but nobody thought, oh, this is an all-star level player. And when Brad Stevens got Isaiah Thomas here, he's running all this stuff for him, he became an all-star. So obviously Isaiah Thomas was going to respect him. You had guys that came into roles with the Celtics where they were bigger roles than they had in other places. Evan Turner comes here after being considered somewhat of a bust in his previous stops in his career. Remember, he was the number two pick. He liked Brad Stevens because he was playing the best basketball of his career, right? But when it's not this upstart group of veterans and young guys that haven't really achieved that much in the NBA, and it's guys that are actually established stars in the league, it hasn't worked with Brad Stevens. We can go back to the Kyrie Irving situation. I know that's a lot to do with Kyrie as well, but look now. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are all-star level players. You think they trust the coach? You think they think this is the coach that's going to put them over the top? They don't trust him. That's the bottom line. They don't believe he's a good enough coach to get them ultimately to where they want to go. It has nothing to do with fear whatsoever. They just don't believe in the coach. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Jake. He's in Boston. What's up, Jake? What's going on the Instagram?
Hey, no Instagram tonight.
All right.
The thing that absolutely irks me is that if Brad were to take the fall for this, the players, the spoiled Gen Z Supermax brats will have won. And that makes me want to double down with Brad instead of your angle and trying to pick him apart. Listen, the last time this group of players tried to get someone fired and got their way, well, maybe it was January 20th at the White House, and they've been 7-13 since that point. So why do I want to give them the opportunity to fire someone else when I want to double down and stick a boot up their butt for the most part? And I hate to tell you, like, if you ask anyone here, go run a poll of your callers and ask them, if Brad were to go, what's their number one qualification for the new guy? And I hate to say it, like, the number one thing is you just mentioned with Evan Turner, I don't think it comes down to talent, skill set. I think they need someone that can relate to, model, and probably look the same way as your players these days. And that's the facts in the NBA. And one other thing, because your players are certainly distracted right now, I hate to tell you, it's not getting any better soon, because there's a certain event going on in Minnesota that's going to pull Jaylen Brown's attention. And if this team doesn't play well, Jaylen Brown may not be here, because he may be protesting in Minnesota in a month from now. That's how bad it's gotten here.
All right,
and
all
I don't
right,
know what
Jake.
You do.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, as always. A lot there to unpack. So Jaylen Brown, when he's been dealing with social justice issues, he's been able to perform at the same time. I don't believe that's an issue with Jaylen Brown. I mean, last year he was as active as any player in the NBA, and he went to the Orlando bubble, and he was great in the bubble. He was one of the best players on the Celtics in the postseason. I believe he should have got more opportunities. But here's the issue. He wants to double down on Brad Stevens. Well, what are we doubling down on? Brad Stevens still hasn't proven that he can get this team over the hump. And here is the issue that you run into in the NBA. If you lose the locker room, you're done. That's the bottom line. If you lose the locker room, it's over. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are now the stars of this team. If they don't believe in the coach, if those two players don't believe in the coach, how is the rest of the team going to believe in him? Right? So if they don't trust the coach, if they don't believe that Brad is going to put them in the right position to win games, why is anybody else going to believe it, right? That's the issue you have right now. And I believe one of the easy solutions that Brad Stevens could go to right now is play Robert Williams more. And I'm not telling you that guarantees wins, but that's going to get Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum more motivated to go out there because they don't trust the bigs that they're playing with right now. That's the bottom line. They don't trust him. There's a reason that both those players come out after the New Orleans game and go out of their way to praise Robert Williams, to tell you what a difference Robert Williams makes. That's what they're doing. They're telling you that they want more minutes from Robert Williams because it makes life easier for them. When Robert Williams is rolling to the basket after he sets a screen for Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, guess what happens? They can throw it up to him. So if they get the double, if they beat their man and the guy comes over to protect the basket, the big man, well, guess what? It's an easy 2 points. With Daniel Tice, you can't throw lobs, right? When Grant Williams was playing earlier this season and he's the guy setting screens, you can't throw lobs to that guy. He can't jump, right? Tristan Thompson, to a lesser extent, not really a lob threat. Now, he's been better as of late. There's no doubt about that. The past couple of games, he's at least brought it. He's brought some effort. But they're telling you this is what we want. We want Robert Williams on the court. And I don't understand why Brad doesn't play him more minutes. Look at where you're at right now. You're a joke. You've lost three consecutive games. If your two best players are basically doing everything they can to publicly praise Robert Williams and get him on the court, give him more minutes. That's easy. That's an easy solution for Brad Stevens. And if you don't think he's lost the locker room, and if you think the players actually trust him, think about what Jaylen Brown's been saying over the past couple of weeks. Okay, you had two different occasions when Jaylen Brown was asked about the offensive system and he said no comment, right? When he was asked about the lack of ball movement, what did he say? No comment. He didn't even answer the question. He didn't say, oh, we can do this better, we can do that better, everybody's got to get better, I got to be better. No, he said no comment. What that tells you is there is a breakdown. He doesn't believe that the coach has a good offensive system. That's what he's doing when he says that. Last night after the loss to the Dallas Mavericks, Jaylen Brown, without saying it, blamed Brad Stevens for the loss. He said, that's our system. When Luka Doncic hits the three, that's how he responded. That's our system. He was referring to the fact that on defense, they switch everything. It's not a good system. Switching defenses don't always work in the NBA. Some teams can run it really well. Like, for example, when the Houston Rockets made it all the way to Game 7 against the Golden State Warriors, they had the personnel to be able to switch. They had P.J. Tucker. They had Chris Paul. They had James Harden. They had Trevor Ariza. They had Eric Gordon. All these guys, with the exception being Chris Paul, but Chris Paul is an elite defender at the point guard position. All those guys were like size, and they could switch everything. Even James Harden played hard on defense in that particular scenario, and we've seen James Harden at times he has completely dogged it defensively. That system works when you have guys that can actually execute it and can defend multiple positions, can defend 1 through 4, and sometimes defend 1 through 5. The Celtics don't have those guys. The only really good defenders they have are Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart. Now, Robert Williams has shown some stuff as a big man, as a guy that can block shots. But other than that, they don't have quality defenders. Kemba Walker's a liability. I know he didn't play tonight. Obviously, Jeff Teague's a liability. Peyton Pritchard, too small to be in a switching system. So that idea of a switching system, it doesn't work with this personnel. So you need to switch that and adjust. This team doesn't fight through screens. This team doesn't get over screens. And part of that has to do with the system they're in, right? It actually makes you become a lazy team defensively when you switch everything. Once you get through, it doesn't make for a team that's going to give a ton of max effort all the time because it's a very easy defensive scheme to play and it's a very easy defensive scheme to be lazy in. So Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they don't trust the system. They're on the other team on a nightly basis, and when they switch off, oh, it's Daniel Tice getting roasted. That's the issue you have right now, is they don't trust the system that Brad Stevens has in place. And that's a massive issue right now. If you don't trust the coach from a tactical perspective, massive issue. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. By the way, P.J. Tucker, who we mentioned, that'd be a perfect guy on this team. They need grown-ups. And by the way, P.J. Tucker's on an expiring contract. I know Danny would have to give away one of his prized second-round picks. I know it would be tough for Danny Ainge to give that up. That's a guy you could use right now. And I know he's not having a great shooting season, but he's on a one-year contract that expires after this year. He's somebody that can play great defensively, bring a certain level of toughness, and he's somebody that's not going to let crap go on like this. I would bring in P.J. Tucker in a heartbeat. All right, a lot more to get into, including Gary Washburn pointed something out on OMF today. A major issue with Danny Ainge in one specific area where Danny Ainge has failed. We'll get into that in just a little bit here on WEI.